Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome in, JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, Jaguars Thursday. Free agency rolls along. Plenty to get to. Some more signings this week for the Jaguars.
Got the tournament on TV.
Tournament is on. We'll go through your brackets, guys.
I didn't do a bracket.
I didn't do a bracket.
No, I know you didn't do a bracket.
Logs is locked into Virginia, though.
Virginia won.
Did they win today?
Yeah. I didn't even know they were in the tournament until I heard something on the radio to where they said that Virginia's behind early, and then they turned around and won. So that's good.
Are you? We get an extra hour of daylight now. Are you gonna go shoot something after the show? What do you got? You got the camos on tonight?
You never know, JP. You just never know.
He's always hunting.
Yeah, I mean, you got the camo on today. The outdoor show hat.
Yeah,
I'm digging
it,
man.
Representing.
I like it.
Yeah, representing. It's a cold day, man. You gotta break out the warm weather gear.
Wait a second. You have shorts on.
I do.
You don't need
that was a mistake.
You don't need cold weather to give you an excuse to wear a camo.
I woke up this morning, walked out the door, and I was like, I probably need to go put a pair of pants on.
Cold,
but I didn't.
Cold.
I figured, you know what? If Jimmy Luck, the Jaguars equipment guy, and his guys can wear shorts to every game, then I can wear shorts today.
Is that their thing? Like, no matter the weather, they wear shorts?
Jaguars equipment men are tough, man. They don't ever wear anything but shorts.
Or dumb.
Well, yeah, might be.
Or both.
Whoa.
But they never wear pants.
Oh, you know, I love Jimmy Luck. Jimmy Luck's smart. Maybe some of the guys working
equipment crew is, they got it going on now.
They're good people.
That's hilarious. Well, there you have it. That nice freshly pressed camp shirt for Tony tonight.
By the way, JP, that's a really nice little pullover you got there.
The
Where'd you get that at?
NFL Shield logo. I've had it for a little bit.
Got the NFL about. Shield logo working it.
That's what we do over here. This is the National Football League.
So did we sign anyone in the last 5 minutes?
No, but we did earlier today. Josh McNary, the linebacker, former Army cadet as well. Comes from a long lineage of military family background, but played for the Indianapolis Colts.
He actually, a couple of years ago, he was mainly a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. And then this past year, because of injury, he got a lot of snaps on defense. And if you remember a couple of years ago, there was an investigation about him. I believe it involved a girl, and I don't know if it was domestic violence or whatever, but he ended up being cleared of all of that, so whatever the accusation was turned out to be false or just kind of went away. But, you know, he's a special teams player, and look, the Jaguars need to be better on special teams, and they've signed a number of them in the last week or so.
Yeah. They're not all going to make it.
About three of them. No, they're not all going to make it, but they got about three of them that are probably going to end up competing. Was Austin?
Audie Cole. Right?
He was an old Colt as well, wasn't he? At one point, he was a Colt.
Yep.
Audie Cole.
Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see.
What is going on? Your phone's ringing. You got camouflage on.
I apologize for that, guys.
What's next on your list tonight?
Unlike Baselli, would just like ignore it.
Are we playing Loggeman Bingo tonight? We almost have the board crossed off.
Mine's on silent right there. See?
I got it on. I got a silence. Sorry, guys.
Angie's going to call you at some point, though. You know, that happens every show.
Absolutely.
Tony was just checking his ringer there, by the way.
It sounds like, I mean, it's obvious, and they've said this on the record publicly, that special teams is a priority again, and they're trying to find four core guys. They haven't had a lot of those.
I got a
right?
great question. I got a topic. Let's talk about it real quick.
Okay, great.
It goes to the whole special teams. I think it's overall. The conversation last year going into camp was how talented this team was, correct?
Yes. It was the sexy pick to win.
GM, everybody, us sitting here. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a team that was so talented get rid of so many guys who were starters from last year. So maybe
true.
I mean, maybe we weren't that talented. Because if you look at just the starters on defense that are no longer, you know, you got Roy, Cindric Marks, mm-hmm. you have
Audric,
you have Prince,
yep.
you have Sip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's five.
Five guys. And Devon House, I believe, was the starter going into the season.
He was.
At the corner.
So that's six.
He was.
That's six.
Yeah.
on defense.
Over half the defense.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess really Sen wasn't a starter. He was so let's say five starters. In.
And Miller was only played how many games?
No, but he was a starter at the beginning. Yeah, he was a big part of it.
Yeah.
On offense, none of us are crazy about the backs, running backs, right? Tight end, starting tight end's gone.
Left side of the line.
Left guard, left tackle gone. So out of 22 guys, if my math's right, I think it's almost close to 10, not quite 50% of guys that we said were on a talented team ready to win have been let go. Or not, maybe not. Some cut, some just not signed back, yeah, not even just, tried to sign them back.
Some just free agents.
What does that tell you? Well, you forgot Luke Jokel on offense.
No, I put him at the left guard.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it tells you that we were not as talented as we thought we were last year.
No, now some of those guys, look, Roy Miller got hurt, and Roy's a talented guy.
No, but I'm saying, but part of, you're right. Roy was because age, Achilles, and the play of Avery Jones, Avery, they probably said, you know what, we'll go younger there and not wait for, see if he can come back from the
And I think he
Achilles.
Had money that was due.
Right. So maybe you bring him back after everything settles down
maybe.
As a role player.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Who knows? But my point, I'm not trying to disparage anybody. It's more than anything, it's just interesting to me. You always expect some turnover. But I think where we all thought we were last year, maybe we got ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Well, that was before this team went 3-13 last year.
I understand that, but those are the players that we were counting on to be major contributors.
Mm-hmm. Well, what it tells you is that wasn't as good as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, so, and look, it's easier, I think, a lot of times.
No, hindsight's 20/20, so I'm not trying to say, like, I'm saying I was in that boat. I mean, I thought this team was talented, ready to go. So I'm putting myself included.
Yeah, but you what did you say? You said 10 wins?
I said, ballpark. I said, well, when we were joking around the radio, I think I got us up to 13, but I thought this was a 9 win. You know,
yeah, no,
I thought anywhere
from
8 to 10
eight,
is where I
yeah,
thought.
8-9 yeah. is kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't get close to that. I still think that talent that they had last year is better than 3 wins.
Oh, no, no. I agree with that 100%.
Way better than 3 wins.
But it's obviously is being viewed much differently now to make the wholesale changes that are being made.
It's also a new set of eyes looking at it,
that's
too.
That's my whole point of saying what I'm saying is it's very interesting. I think the three wins – have a lot to do with it, and that's why the changes were made. It's why Gus Bradley's no longer the coach and why Tom Coughlin was brought in to oversee everything. But with that said, you look at it, we just weren't as talented. I mean, we were not where we thought we were last year, and that's obvious by the record, but I'm saying that now. It makes it even more obvious to me by the moves that have been made and not even trying to bring back guys that were integral parts of what this team was trying to do last year.
Well, and part of that too, Tony, is that look, you know, when you got an opportunity just to get a Calais Campbell, it makes it obvious that Sen Erik Barks has got to go.
Oh no, I shouldn't even put Sen in there. Sen was even if you win 9 games, it was probably near the end of Sen's time here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all of us kind of saw it,
and we were all kind of hoping with him is that he would get back to being kind of the player that he was
right.
prior to the knee, prior
so take
to
Sen
the
tricep. But you look at guys like Odrick and Thomas and House and
look,
Sip.
Hey, Odrick's got talent, but he doesn't have.
Well, that's part of talent now, Jeff.
Yeah. No, I know
when he gets it together.
That's part of it.
He doesn't have the cerebral part of it. You know, I mean, if you don't have that part of it, doesn't matter. You know, but I mean, if you look at him from a raw talent standpoint, he's got plenty of talent.
Yeah, 2 years ago we saw him take over the Dolphins game. His old team.
Because he wanted to.
No doubt.
But I think it's – and I like the moves we've made. I mean, I think adding Calais Campbell, number one, everything I've heard from around the league and people who know him and know the situation in Arizona, not only is he a great player, he is a great locker room leader, influence, and presence. You know, I love that move.
Number one on a lot of people's list.
Big.
Tom Coughlin talked about that yesterday with us here on Jaguars.com. Loved how he's loved him for a long time, and they don't get a chance to talk to them during the free agency process, but knew the track record of Calais Campbell through the league.
Here's what you need to know. Turn the film on.
That, too.
Yeah. I mean, holy cow.
He's disruptive. 6'8", 300 batting balls, picking off balls.
He is a powerful human being. Yeah.
He's big. He's strong. He's got a great motor.
Have you ever been on the field with him when he's in full pads?
I've done
a number of Arizona games.
Huge.
And every time I'm down there, he's out of everyone in this league. I mean, there's a couple guys like, but he stands out every time. And I'm on the field next to him, and I'm going, I know I used to be a lot bigger than I am now, but it would have been a bear to box
just because of his height.
Just because of his size. Yeah. He's just a – I mean.
And he can move a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he's athletic. I mean, he's a three technique, five technique, 4B. I mean, that's
whatever you want.
I mean, but he is an interior. He's not an outside speed.
He's not an edge rusher, but he can do anything inside.
That's right. So Barry Church, I think it's Boyer. I mean,
I like Boyer. Barry Church, I'm like, eh.
I like Barry Church. Okay. Would you say it's an upgrade over Jonathan Cyprian?
Yeah, because he makes more plays on the ball.
Right, and he gives you more flexibility in different coverages and rotating.
Yeah, and I don't know about that.
And TC knows.
So you don't think he can play center field?
I don't know about that.
Watching him, I think he can.
I think he's got the smarts and the awareness to do it, but I think he's got some physical limitations where you don't want him parking it back there much.
But here's what he can do. He can play split two high safety looks because that's all they did a lot of the time in Dallas under Marinelli. He's a two high safety guy, cover four. I mean, so we were not even able to do that much last year because the confidence not having Cyprian back there playing half field as a half field player. So I think – you know, you look at it. I think the addition at left tackle is Brandon Albert. Just stays away from the Knicks, kind of the little injuries. I think it's an upgrade. And so I like everything he's doing. But as I was sitting here going through it and thinking about the guys who are not here and where we sat just 9 months ago getting ready in training camp and how excited we were and thought this team was ready to take that step because of – I mean, the quote was, we are talented. By everybody.
A lot of people said that.
A lot of people. I guess just not as talented as we thought. And the wins are obvious, make it obvious, but also, I mean, the guys leaving and the urgency to upgrade a lot of positions. And I still think there's positions that they want to upgrade.
Yeah, let me ask you this. On the defensive side, is there anything left that is so pressing you got to get it done before the draft?
No, because there's no one out there to do it with. I still don't – I think you really are counting on young guys still as edge rushers. I mean, I don't – if you're asking me right now, do I think Ngakoue and Fowler are dominant edge rushers in this league, I'd say no. I haven't seen it. Now I feel more confident about Ngakoue because of the year he had. He showed some nice flashes.
Where did they end up with sacks wise? Ngakoue had eight, right? And then
Fowler had 3.5, 4.
I think he had 4. What did he have, JP?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
So my point is,
but that's, you know what? That's about what we expected, right?
Yeah, we said 5 would be over under.
Ngakoue, we were thinking, okay, we both thought that Ngakoue would end up with more.
Yeah, Ngakoue 8, Fowler 4.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we thought.
I don't know if I thought Ngakoue would get 8.
We figured he would be 6, somewhere in there, and then he exceeded.
But remember, Fowler had 2 in week 2. And then
no
kind of slowed it down after.
But before he had that one, what was it, the one little week of practice to where he was just, crazy, we were like, okay, 4 or 5 sacks. Kind of the expectation for Dante Fowler.
And then Tampa came to town and everything changed.
And then we're like, oh, well, okay, let's kind of dial it back and, get back to our original expectation was 4 or 5 sacks, and that's about where he ended up.
But maybe it's just me, and Jeff might disagree. But I don't sit here with a ton of confidence that we have a dominant edge rusher or that we have a dominant pass rush still with 4 guys. I think Clayus helps. I think him and Malik inside pushing the pocket and doing things creates a lot of issues up front in a sub package. But where's the pressure going to come from the edge? I mean, now you hope and what you think is that Ngakoue is going to spend this offseason getting stronger and working on his craft, and he already has the specialty and the understanding of how to rush the passer with hand movement, edge, and so I have some confidence that if he's working hard right now and works hard in this offseason, that you'll see maybe his sack numbers might not go up more than 8, but I think you'll see more pressure and more disruption out of him because I think that sometimes what gets missing, we get misled in the sack numbers. Okay, he had 8 sacks, but let's look back and say how disruptive were they? Because I never forget Everson Griffin, the Minnesota Vikings defensive end. I think he only ended up with like 10 sacks, 9-10 sacks, Pro Bowler. But you go watch the tape.
He impacts a lot of plays.
I think he was second or third in quarterback hits and pressures. I mean, he is disruptive, causes problems. And so that is almost even a better stat to look at sometimes than just pure sacks. Because sacks can happen for all kinds of different reasons. Now, that's what defensive linemen get paid off of, and that's what they want. But as you're evaluating where you are, and then as far as Dante Fowler, I think we all believe he's a great, great athlete. I love his effort, his intensity.
He's got to mature,
and he's got to learn how to rush the passer. I didn't see one time all year where you saw there's a chop, you know, chop rip or a chop swim.
A plan move.
There's, you know, look at how he, you know, turns his hips and gets on the edge or, you know, speed to power and, you know, power in that inside shoulder. I mean, speed to spin. I mean, all the different things. Can you remember one time where you really said, wow, okay, now I see the development of a pass rusher?
No, but we saw moments where you went.
Oh, you went wow watching him run around and nail people and kill people. Yeah. And what gives me hope about Dante is his effort is unreal. But there's a maturity factor, and then he's got to learn. And
I'm sure there's frustration, too, because he wants to do well too.
I'm not even worried about that. The frustration, I mean, how much you want to is shown by how hard you work and what you do. Don't tell me. I mean, I don't think any of us want to hear about it. I think what he has a lot of the tools because the athletic ability. And Jeff can speak to this better than I can, but I'll tell you from an offensive lineman perspective, the greatest pass rushers weren't just the greatest athletes. The greatest pass rushers were technicians who had a plan and could execute that plan with their hands and how they could set you up and how they could move their hips and get on an edge and bend. Those are things you have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll say that, right? Jeff was not a superior athlete. I mean, even when I came to camp, it wasn't like.
Wait a minute! He's been telling us he's been a superior athlete for years around here. What are you talking about?
No, when I came to camp in '95.
Breaking news!
When I came to camp in '95, I didn't look at Jeff and said, "Oh my gosh! I mean, this guy's going to run by me." But I'll say this: the first time we went one-on-one pass rushing, he about broke my wrist with a, knocking my hands down and getting the edge. I was like, "Okay, he's got
a little something.
This guy's got some things. I better figure out how to combat this and." And that's almost harder for an offensive lineman. You give me a guy who's just fast. Oh, well, okay, great, you're fast. Give me a guy who knows how to set you up and understands the game. That's a pass rusher. The other guy's an athlete.
Let's come back and fix the offense. How about that? What's that going to take for the Jaguars in
that's
this
an
offseason?
Easy, that's an easy answer.
Ooh, is it?
Yeah.
McAllen's AC is giving you a chance to get your electric bill paid for the entire 2017 season. Just guess the weekly order of opponents for the Jags season, and you could win. Enter today at McGowansAC.com. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, the number. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Idzik and Tim Walsh. You know, but at the end of the day, in free agency, it's about
the
writing
money.
A check. You know, it's about the money. And so – you can have all the efficiency in the world, but at the end of the day, when you're communicating with agents and agents only, it's about what the size of the check is.
Yeah,
you know? So through all that, you know, efficiency, coordination, great work. I mean, the credit needs to go to Shad Khan, you know, because, you know, this football team's got an owner that's willing to spend the money to field the best product possible. Because you know what? You compare that to other teams in the National Football League, you're not getting that.
Right. Yeah.
So
your phone rang, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. listening, and Jeff, I don't disagree with you, but let me – and I didn't have any different insight than anyone else sitting here on the draft, but I was at the Combine, and Tom and Dave were nice enough to let me – sit in on some of their meetings and how they did things, and I'm not going to get into any.
Oh, what? Oh,
I won't say who they were with.
No, Tony. That's ridiculous.
No, I'm not going to say because.
Don't quit teasing us.
No, but what my whole point in saying that is, and I don't know how it was in the past, and I have no idea how other teams do it, but sitting in the player meetings with Tom and Dave, the scouts, the different coaches that would be there.
And John Doe, the player.
And when I was there, Shad and Tony were there as well. But sitting back, and I was just a spectator sitting in the back, you talk about a well-oiled presentation machine of how they did things and the questions that were asked and how they were asked and who asked them. It was really impressive. And you can tell, I think sometimes we forget the work that all goes into that. I mean, it was a 15-minute meeting, and I was in there for when the offensive linemen were in there. And just even Pat Flattery, the offensive line coach, his portion of it and setting up tape and the questions they were asked and how he asked them. I was really impressed of the organization that and the efficiency. That's what made me think of it when Tom said very efficient. Because, I mean, that's a Tom Coughlin word and term. Yeah. And it was. It was very efficient, very well done, very informative. And I'll say this. I left those offensive line meetings, and I knew guys I would that if I was drafting, that I'd draft, and there was a couple guys, I wouldn't draft them.
Let's go.
Based on watching the tape, so you may have some questions, but then how they answered and kind of – and just as an offensive lineman, knowing what they would be like in the meeting, I'm like, I don't want that guy.
Let's go through, like, the top offensive line names, name by name here. And we'll see by your body expression. No, I could probably tell by your facial expression.
You're not going to get anything out of me. Nothing out of me.
You're a rock.
I told them anything I do will be kept between me and myself, except for high-level things. And the only reason I brought it up is because I heard Tom say efficient. They're efficient. That's for sure.
Well, he requires it. That's how he operates, how he rolls.
That's how he rolls, and so to speak.
You know who's good in those meetings? It's Dave. Dave Caldwell is good in those meetings. He does a good job. I mean, the whole organization, how they do it. I mean – it's almost I felt like sitting in the back. I'm like, all right, they sat here and like did a dress rehearsal the day before, like who's going to do what and how we're going to do it.
They might have,
but it was really well done, well done.
Do you remember those meetings when you were at the combine?
Much different than when I was
way different.
Much different. When I went to team meetings, sometimes the head coach was there, sometimes the GM, sometimes it just depended.
Position coach, maybe the head coach.
Yeah, sometimes I did some stupid tests. You know, I never watched film.
No.
With any of the coaches.
Nope.
There were general questions.
I guarantee you did not go to one meeting that had an owner in there.
No. No owner. Never. Now, maybe it was I don't know. Maybe it was different. I mean, my favorite, and I don't know if I told this on the air or not, but my favorite combine story when I was there is they had the individual meetings at night. They'd call you. They wanted to meet with you. But then they had these round tables where you go in and sit at a table, and there'd be, let's say, seven prospects in one room with seven tables, and then the coaches from, let's say, the NFC came in, and then the AFC, and they'd come in and they'd sit down and talk to, like, do quick fireball questions. And the late Buddy Ryan, who was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals at the time, and they were picking like 16th in the draft. So he sits down and says, "You're a good player. This is a complete waste of time. You're not going to be there when I pick, but hey, heck of a career. Thanks. Nice meeting you."
Got up and left.
Oh my God. See, they didn't even have that formality when I was at the combine. It was very, very informal. You know,
and that night we would have they'd call whoever they wanted to talk to, and I had a bunch of teams I talked to, and I'm not even sure the Jaguars were one of them at that time. They flew me in the week 2 weeks after the combine to come meet here, but it was really.
It's like I've never speed dated, but that's what that sounds like. It would be.
And they have something like that still.
Maybe I should.
Where they have a big room where a lot of players are coming. You kind of grab guys for 2 or 3 minutes, and then they have the organized meetings at night. It was, I'll tell you what, that process, I would love to talk to Dave and say, how long does it take you guys to organize that week in Indianapolis with all different position coaches, who's going to do what, who's responsible for what players, what coaches, you know, who you want to meet with, because you only get a handful of guys you meet with.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, the guys they met with, and I only saw the offensive line group, and I saw them and the running backs. The guys
they met with,
some I figured, you know, were guys, and then some were just like, I'm like, I wonder how they picked that guy to meet with. So, like, to us, like, before I got there, I'd have said they go down to their top five guys, and they get their top five guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It was very interesting, the people they talked to. So, but very well done. Very informative. And I enjoyed the questions because it made you – it gave you an insight, and they were asked in a way that gave you an opinion of the player and how he responded. Like, I liked one player on tape, and after the time, I'm like, I would pick him.
I was thinking
first impression. I wasn't even thinking as a coach at that point. I was thinking as a player. I'm like, I don't want that guy in my room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know those guys. You're like, they ruin the room. Like,
Let's come back and fix the offense,
Offense. Sorry, we were supposed to fix it there. I kind of hijacked it.
No,
Sorry,
it was a great story. Too bad you won't give us the list at
I'm not going to do it. Won't do it. I won't even tell you off air because I don't trust you, JP.
Oh, that's fair, actually. Let's come back and fix the offense. We'll go around the National Football League as well. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Witness the fight for the green jacket live in Augusta with fellow Jacksonville Jaguars fans and Prime Sports. Visit primesports.com/Jaguars or call 800-591-9198 for more information.
That'd be cool.
No fighting at Augusta National.
What is that, the second weekend in April, right?
That's, the 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Yeah. First week. I think it's the first.
Full
week. Full, it's the first, second
first Sunday.
So yeah. The first full weekend this year.
That's a better way to say it. The second Sunday. Yeah. It's coming up, though.
I think it's
coming
the second
up.
Sunday.
We're talking about that. It's almost April. What is going on?
The year's over.
When's OTAs? That's coming up quick.
I mean, seriously. The year's
Do we have to talk about that coming?
No, I mean, we're going to be in training camp before we go.
I know. Flies by, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good. I'll have two kids out of the house. I only have three left, so I'm working my way down. That's what I think about.
Marking them off the list.
Marking them off.
One at a time. Offense.
How we fix it?
Yeah. What's left in the offensive line? You want to get a guard?
Well,
are you happy with what you got?
You
want
to fix the offense. The quarterback has to play better. That's how you fix the offense.
Okay. This is a separate question. What's left in the offensive line?
Well, you got to get better in the running game, too.
Okay. You said.
Yes. That, two separate questions.
Okay. Ask the question. What's the first question?
Let's start with the offensive line.
So you want to know how to fix the offensive line.
What's left? Is there anything left, in your opinion, that you need to get done?
You need more depth of guard.
Okay.
I mean, right now.
They feel confident they can line up right now. That's what Dave Caldwell said.
Well, I would disagree with him.
Okay.
Who's going to play left guard?
AJ Cam.
Good question.
Who's going to play right guard?
I don't know.
Omame. Okay. The new guy, Watford.
Yeah.
Okay. He is a – okay.
I mean, he filled in and started, what, last year, right?
Well, you can line up and play.
You can line up and play, but it's
– But what level are you going to play at?
There you go.
I mean, you know, there's
– Are you better –
always line up and play.
Are you better than you were last year?
Right now?
Yes.
No.
Overall, no.
Huh. Well, because Luke Jokel going into the season was better than any guard on this team we have right now. I would have liked to see bring Luke Jokel back. I understand why they didn't because of the $8 million, but I think Luke Jokel's a good guard. And this team was better at guard last year than they are right now.
Should they have gone harder in free agency at the top tier guards?
For $12
million
a year?
Was that too much money for a guard?
For that much money, no.
A lot of money.
No, look, you got draft picks and you got to use them and you got to make them hit. You know, I mean, that's – Look, if you had hit on Luke Jokel, you wouldn't be worrying about going out and getting Brandon Albert. Then you probably would have been in the guard sweepstakes. You know what I mean? So you that's all part of it. You know, you got to hit on your draft picks, and then you can pick and choose where you want to operate in free agency.
And that's – Jeff makes a great point. And that was my point to start the show. When you have a talented team, then you don't have to be as aggressive in free agency.
You want the lights out in the building that day.
You pick – your draft picks are the ones you develop, and you're worried about signing them. Those are the free agents you're trying to sign. In that first draft class, there is no one left except for Denard Robinson. And numbers game, if they go draft a running back
– he won't be back. I'd be shocked if he were back.
So that
he's
means
a free agent, right? He's a free agent right
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. So after 4 years, not one guy is on the roster – that you picked. That's why you had to be so aggressive, and that makes it hard. And that's where, and Jeff's exactly right. If Luke Jokel would have been the left tackle we thought, then you wouldn't have had to worry about Brandon Albert. I will argue, though, that Luke Jokel, before he got hurt last year, was playing good left guard. I understand the injury. I understand the $8 million. I might have paid the $8 million for 1 year for him to come play guard.
Coming off of a knee, I wouldn't.
I might have.
Did they try?
I have no idea.
Well, they tried. Yeah. You know, I mean, according to Dave, they tried. Yeah. But, you know, look, when it gets up to $8 million a year and, you know, guys coming back from a knee, you know, and I don't necessarily totally agree with Tony in that he was
really dominant.
Yeah,
I'd say he's good, better than A.J. Can.
Yeah, he was, you know, but we expect a lot more out of A.J. Can, and that's part of it, too, going forward, and that they need to be able to get more out of A.J. Can, and if that requires him doing better at right guard, then so be it. If it requires him moving back to where he was at in college, which is left guard, so be it. But he needs, you need to have more production out of him, and then you worry about the other spot. You know, then you'll find that you find a guy like competition.
Where are you
going to
find a guy, Jeff? You got to draft a guy.
Look, you're going to draft a guy.
You have to hit on the draft.
And you've got a couple of free agents that you sign. Let them compete, you know, and whoever is the best out of that competition, then you go.
My point is you have to go back. It goes back to ultimately be a good team year in and year out. You have to hit in the draft. You cannot build a team primarily through free agency. You use free agency to fill gaps. And that first draft was, I mean, there's no other way to say it. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good for a lot of teams.
What about second draft?
Bortles draft. So you had Bortles. Who else?
Wide receivers.
Wide receivers. Marquise Lee. Allen Robinson.
By the way.
Talvin Smith. The nickel.
Aaron Colvin.
Aaron Colvin. I can't remember the back half of that.
Trying to remember who else was in that draft. But, I mean, right now, the most important one, the quarterback, you got a lot of questions with.
Got a lot of questions, the quarterback. I think the two – I think Allen Robinson, I'm going to still give him the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was outstanding year two. Had a rough year last year. But how much of that is because inconsistent at quarterback?
Well, it was Telvin Smith was in that draft, too.
Yeah, he said that.
Chris Smith.
Tony said that.
Chris Smith is none.
Luke Bowenko. Still around. Storm Johnson.
Hurt last year, you know. Jury's still out on him.
Yes, jury's still up. Those are like –
Linder.
No. Linder was in that draft.
Yeah,
Linder,
yes, very good pick.
Linder, good pick. Talvin Smith, great pick. I think Allen Robinson was a good pick. And Marquise Lee, the way he played last year, if he builds on that, that's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
And so, you know, but when you draft a quarterback in the top five, it's all about him.
That's right.
So, but there's some players. My point there, that draft, you wait. Next year when they're free agents, you're going to want to bring Allen Robinson back. If Marquise Lee plays like he did this year and better, you're going to want to bring him back. You're going to want to bring Talvin Smith back. You're gonna want to bring
Linder.
Brandon Linder back, if you know. So there's four guys that are building blocks. That's a good draft. Now it's gonna be ultimately judged by the quarterback because that's how when you pick a quarterback that high. We said it that night. Dave Caldwell will be judged by this pick. Fair or not, that's how it works. If Blake Bortles hits, it's a great draft, outstanding draft. You have the foundation of a building block, but it's you know, but. Don't kid yourself. Missing on every pick in that first draft hurts. You have nothing to show for it right now. That hurts.
Yes.
Because, I mean, those right now, I mean, you think about that. Those guys would be coming into
fifth year. Those guys
year
are
five.
Those guys are like guys you're counting on.
Prime of their careers. You know, the one guy that has been re-signed out of that class, even though he wasn't a draft pick, is Avery Jones.
Right.
Who was undrafted. Heck of a football player, and I give Dave Caldwell and his staff a lot of credit because I remember when Avery came in here, I'm like, yeah, he's just kind of a guy. But, you know, they had seen him prior to the injury that he sustained at Georgia and knew the type of player that he could be. And sure enough, it really wasn't year one, but year two you started to see some of those flashes kind of come about. But I remember in year one and they wanted to keep him, I'm like, I don't see it, you know, maybe I'm missing something. And I actually asked the question, I think, of Dale. I said, why do you like Avery Jones? And he said, look, he said, you should see his film prior to the injury that he got at University of Georgia. I could say a pretty serious ankle injury, I guess, at Georgia.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, he was right on that one. But, you know, you look at, you know, Cyprian and Luke Jokel. And, I mean, not having those guys in the prime of their careers as effective players on your football team.
Set you back.
That hurts.
And that's one of the reasons you had to go and be
– trade Brandon Albert to get a left tackle, which you drafted Luke to be the left tackle.
And you had to be ultra aggressive.
Goes to get Barry Church as a safety.
He's in the back. He's 31 years old. So I mean, okay. That's a stopgap. Where you'd hope that'd be Sip, you pay him a little bit more, fine. But now you have him for another 5 years because he's your guy. Bearing injuries, you can never calculate that. And part of that's what happened to Luke a little bit. My guess is if Luke doesn't get hurt, they sign him as the left guard here, and he's still here. But that's not what he drafted him to be. He drafted him to be the left tackle.
Could he compete as a guard?
Who, Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can. I like him as a guard.
He's athletic. We know that.
And he's powerful. He's strong. I've talked to a number of offensive line coaches around the league, and to a man, none of them liked him as a left tackle. They all loved him as a guard.
Mm-hmm.
He had multiple opportunities. I know that. And so that's why I would have signed him, Jeff. I would have paid the $8 million. Said Luke, stay
You're talking
here.
About Jokel, Bob, but I'm asking about Bwanko.
Oh, I thought you said Bwanko. Oh, can Bwanko. Bwanko needs to get a little thicker, a little stronger. He's a little skinny on the bottom half. Do I think he can? Yeah, I like what I like about Bwanko, which I wish they would have played him at the end last year. I don't understand why they didn't make him the left guard and just throw him out there and go. Was he has a he has an edge to him, a little nastiness to him. He needs to get stronger, and I do like Bwanko.
His ability to get to the second level, to the linebackers. I mean, he's got that part of it down.
Needs a little bit more in the
just needs a little bit more lead in the shorts.
Yeah, but I like his attitude. He has plays with an edge if you watch him a little bit. I thought you meant Jokel. Sorry.
At what point, if at all, are you drafting a quarterback this year?
Well, tell me who's there in the second round.
Second round.
Well, I mean, it depends who's there. And I don't know where you – I haven't done any homework on the – I mean, I've watched them a little bit, but it's not like I've graded and studied these quarterbacks at the extent they are. But so let's say you're Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin. You're sitting there and you have – let's say Deshaun Watson. Just pick a name out of one of the top guys. And you have a mid-first-round grade on him. He's your highest-rated quarterback in the draft. And you have him a mid-first-round grade. And you're sitting there at two in the second round. And he's still there?
Well, he's not going to be there.
Oh, I understand, but he's saying, why would I think about taking him? Yes. If a guy in the third round, Kaiser, because he was up and down. But you're Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin. You have him rated as a late first rounder. You're sitting in the third round, and that guy's sitting there?
Take him.
If none of those situations happen, I'd still draft a guy in the around the fourth round.
So you're getting one before the if he's there and available and high on your board.
I'm taking him fourth
round. You're taking a quarterback before the fourth round.
Been saying it in for a long time.
Look at
doing it every year.
Yeah.
Every year you do it.
Well you look at doing it every year.
JP, I ask you the question. What's your confidence level that Blake Bortles is the long-term answer?
You don't know.
No, I'm not. I said, what is your confidence that he's
the long-term? What is my confidence?
Yeah, individually.
Not great.
What's your confidence, Jeff, that he's the long-term answer?
50-50.
Yeah.
That's me, too.
Coin toss.
It's a coin toss right now. So if I'm the GM and I can take all the emotion out of it and all my attachment to Blake Bortles and how much I like him, because I like him. If I went with emotion, I would say I'm 90% sure he is, because I want Blake to be the guy. It's best for this organization. I like him as a guy. I like his attitude. I like how he does things. But if I can take all that out and be unemotional, a coin flip. And if I have a coin flip, I'm finding someone else to increase my odds just in case.
Now, let me ask you guys the same question, both of you. Ignore 2015. Where's your confidence level at in Blake Bortles if you got to just watch 2016?
About 15%.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Slower,
big difference,
slower.
Right?
Yeah, but
big difference.
Yeah, I don't think you have to look at the whole thing.
You do, but I mean, after that's where
after
most
this
people
year?
Are at.
I think Jeff. Sometimes you and I might get a little biased because we sit up there and call the game, and by the end of the year, I don't think we have much confidence in anything. After this year,
three-win season.
Well, Blake had some moments this past year, though, that you went.
I'll never forget. And Jeff said
that was a starting quarterback throw.
I'm going to say because Jeff had said this on the air before. And he finally said it one time after he'd said it a couple weeks on the air in the broadcast. He says, I'd bench him right now.
I would have.
That was great.
I don't remember the game.
I don't either.
It was, but it was after,
It was such a bad throw and such a bad decision. So, and I was thinking it, and Jeff came out and said it.
I mean, Jeff wanted to cut Odrick week three.
I did too. I was with Jeff on that one. We were in agreement. As much as Jeff and I argue about some nuances of things, it's amazing that about 95% of the time, we agree exactly what we would both do.
Well, we were raised with efficiency.
We were That's raised right. with efficiency.
And these guys are about to be raised with efficiency as well. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We'll look around the National Football League and some changes in Minnesota in the backfield when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
To 1,000 people, it's our wine tasting gala. 14 years ago, Barry Zeidwig had this idea. Barry from Southern Wine Experience, 42 years with Southern Wine Experience on our board of directors, had this idea for the J Fund Foundation. And the wine tasting gala, I think, is one of the top social deals in the whole city throughout the course of the year. And what it is 35 of the top restaurants in the area, 250 of the best wines in the world, and all kinds of people and celebrity working and having a good time. And this year, remember this, it's on St. Patrick's Day.
Ah.
The bishop has given all Irishmen a special dispensation. Of course, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, so it should be a whole lot of fun. And there's some Irish, some step dancers and some surprises there as well.
There's Tom Coughlin, the J Fund Wine Tasting Gala tomorrow night at
the
Wells Fargo
the table
building.
There.
He was for emphasis.
Wait a second. Yes. Is he Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Jaguars or Head Marketing Director for the Wine Gala here in Jacksonville?
Yes.
That's
in
pretty
fact,
good.
He
pretty
is.
Good.
That was the biggest. I love TC.
He sold it.
It's sold out. Yeah. You can't get a ticket. This has turned into the number one social event in all of the city. I thought for a second he was going to say the country, and I was really going to get. But boy, they do great.
It's a great event, and it's
a great cause, and they raise a bunch of money. And
but he's doing a heck of a sales job.
That was a sales job, and especially when it's already sold out. I'll be there tomorrow night.
I'll be there too.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Yeah. Eat some food and have a glass.
You're on a diet, man. Careful.
You need to be on one.
You need to be back on one.
No.
Easy, guys. We don't need to go there.
Yeah, we don't need to go there tonight.
But, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good event. He does a good job. But, he was selling it hard there.
Have a glass of vino for me.
I will.
Oh, yeah, we will. Also, Blake Bortles Foundation Golf Tournament is this weekend. The concert Saturday night at Planet Vista Concert Hall. And then the King and Bear Sunday for the golf tournament. So a big weekend in the community for the Jaguars.
I know, I'm sad I'm missing that. I'm going out of town for spring break, so I'll miss the
Where board. Are you going now?
Taking the kids. It's the last spring break for my one son. So my oldest can't go because he's in spring ball, but taking him. And then next year it'll just be three of us in spring break.
I'm actually I'm not going to Tom's Wine Gale. I got a wedding to go to. A friend of mine's son's getting married, so we got a little thing Friday and Saturday. But I'm going to go to Blake's golf tournament on Sunday.
Are you going to play?
I was going to play until I threw my back out this week. So I'm just going to watch.
Jeff and I did the charity deal.
TPC shootout for the charities.
And
with Jason Day.
Jeff did good. Never playing golf. I mean, I'll say this. You would not know Jeff Loggeman besides his attire with his
had the camo hat working.
In his untucked shirt walking around.
Yeah.
Outside of his you would not know he was not a golfer. Swung it good, hit it good.
It's a natural athlete.
Did not embarrass himself any more than anyone else did.
I did not have golf shoes.
No.
Nor did I have clubs.
No.
I borrowed the clubs. And I gave Jason Day, you know, he's a spokesman for Swing Oil. Which is, you know, it's like a performance product. It's one of those things, you know, they promote it.
Yeah, what did you give him to drink?
It's Swing Oil.
Oh, you gave it to him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so
he's going to pick it up somewhere?
I got connections. I got connections, you know?
I was like, what is Logs doing? They're drinking this stuff.
It's a product that's supposed to help, you know, calm down and focus and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it didn't help you.
It's a PED that's legal.
He hit the worst shot of the day for you.
He did. I was like, I think I got him a little bit too oiled up because he hit it pretty right.
I'll tell you what, though, that Jason, what a good guy.
Great guy.
Because it was a deal. The winner got $10,000 from the tour, from the players, for their charity. And so only one, I can't remember who won. Oh, Jeff Clapp.
Epilepsy Foundation of Jacksonville.
The former pro golfer had the best shot and hits it to 2 inches from the hole. So we were all lost at that point. But at the end, So we're all sitting there for a picture, getting ready to take a picture, one final picture before we got out of there. And Jason Day came up and said, hey, I just want to announce that I'm personally going to give $5,000 to every charity. And there was 10 of us there.
For his foundation?
From his foundation.
Very cool.
So, I mean, 50, he stroked a check for 50 grand
Sweet.
On the spot. It was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Good guy.
Great
what
guy.
A normal, I mean, normal guy.
Yeah, great guy. Well, kind of normal, but he's got an accent.
He has.
Aussie,
he's
right?
normal yeah. except for the accent and the fact that he can hit the ball as far as he wants and wherever he wants, whenever, you know, at any time of the day. So it's impressive.
Got to remind you, this is the last day for Free Agency Frenzy. Go to Jaguars.com/Free Agency Frenzy and you'll enter to win autographed jerseys, a player meet and greet at training camp, plus tickets and field passes to the home opener at Everbank Field. The last night, it closes at 11:59 tonight. So get that entry in now. Let's look around the National Football League, and we start off in Minnesota. Latavius Murray is signed with the Vikings, and this afternoon it is the end of the road for AP there. Rick Spielman, the GM there, said, we will be moving on from Adrian Peterson. So he's gone after, what, 11, 10 years there.
Great player, you know, and it's a big question mark whether he can ever regain the form that has made him a great player. You know, because if you watched, you know, last year alone, you probably would say, I don't know. A big question mark of whether
he
can get back.
He only played one game.
No, I know, but even if you watched before that.
Well, didn't he have 1,500 yards a year before? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He came back off the suspension.
Yeah, a huge year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had a good year. But, you know, running backs, when they get into that 31, whatever it is.
I agree with everything else you said except for the fact that we saw anything last year. I mean,
we didn't.
He's old.
But that's the question. When you don't see something out of a running back and they're at the age that he is, it makes it a serious question mark. And so he's not going to make, you know,
he's not going to make the money
$15 million a year like his contract was going to call for in Minnesota. Depends on what the money is.
Okay, let's say you called Adrian Peterson and he said, I'll come there for, you know, 3-year deal, average $7 million a year, which, you know, the last year's a waste of money anyway. You're not going to keep him with –
How much guarantee?
Nine guaranteed. So you're going to have nine guaranteed over 2 years. You're going to pay him an average of $7 million a year.
If I don't draft Leonard Fournette, I'd take him.
I'd take that right now.
Would you?
Wow. Yes. Hmm. Adrian Peterson, you're a better football team if Adrian Peterson's on
your
roster.
He wants to play in his dad wants him in Oakland. He's talked about Dallas. He's talked about New York.
Well, he's not going to Dallas. I got this guy named Ezekiel Elliott who's better than he is.
Well, they just got McFadden back, too.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's coming here.
No.
I'm saying if I was the GM, I'd make the phone call and say, hey.
Sure.
So what we're offering. You want to come? If not, fine.
If not,
don't call us back.
No biggie.
Staying on the running back train, Eddie Lacy headed to Seattle from beast mode to feast mode.
Is he playing left guard or running back? Because he's at about 267 right now.
That's what he is. Yeah. Pete Carroll said he likes him big.
Yeah, yeah.
PR campaign because, you know, they have all these clauses in his contract as far as, you know, how his weight is. So they're not going to expect him to play at 267. They're going to expect him to play at like 240-ish. He's big back anyway, but he can't weigh 267.
Dude. Big dude. Big. He's a little fat, too.
DeMarcus Ware hanging it up. He told Peter King that he turned down a $9 million deal this year to do it. 34 years old, 12 NFL seasons, 8th on the all-time sack list.
And he left the door open. You know, he totally left the door open because
he turned down $9 million
this year?
I believe he has. I mean, with what some of these players have been getting this year in free agency, I believe that he was offered $9 million.
Turn it down?
I think DeMarcus Ware does not want to go through an offseason, nor does he want to go through a training camp. My guess is he will play this year, but he will be signed at some point late in the season for some team that's going to make a run.
Yeah, maybe. I'll take $9 million. I'm not going to be there for offseason, and I practice every other day.
Well, then your rate would be cut to 5.
Now if you can sack the quarterback, not in this league.
Good show, guys. Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Linda Fortunato in the house tonight, too. I'm JP Shadrick.
Better Fortunato.
Yes, indeed. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.